And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's March 22nd, 81st day of the year. 284 days remain until the end of the year. On this day in history, in the year 106, started the Bostrian era, the calendar of the province of Arabia Petraea. 238, Gordian I and his son Gordian II are proclaimed Roman emperors. In 871, Ethelred of Wessex is defeated by a Danish invasion army at the Battle of Marten. 1508, Ferdinand II of Aragon commissions Amerigo Vespucci, chief navigator of the Spanish Empire. 1621, the pilgrims of Plymouth Colony sign a peace treaty with Massasoit of the Wampanoags. 1622, Jamestown Massacre. Algonquins killed 347 English settlers around Jamestown, Virginia. That's a third of the colony's population. This is during the Second Anglo-Powhatan War. 1630, Massachusetts Bay Colony outlaws the possession of cards, dice, and gaming tables. Going to get rid of all that evilness. 1638, Anne Hutchinson is expelled from Massachusetts Bay Colony for religious dissent. Believe the way we tell you to believe or get the hell out of Dodge. 1713, the Tuscarora War comes to an end with the fall of Fort Nihororoca, effectively opening up the interior of North Carolina to European colonization. 1739, Nader Shah occupies Delhi in India and sacks the city, stealing the jewels of the Peacock Throne. 1765, the British Parliament passes the Stamp Act that introduces a tax to be levied directly on its American colonies. 1784, the Emerald Buddha is moved from with great ceremony to its current location in Wat Phra Kyu in Thailand. 1794, the Slave Trade Act of 1794 bans the export of slaves from the U.S. and prohibits American citizens from outfitting a ship for the purpose of importing slaves. 1829, in the London Protocol, the three protecting powers, U.K., France, and Russia, established the borders of Greece. 1849, the Austrians defeat the Piedmontese at the Battle of Novara. 1871, in North Carolina, William Woods Holden becomes the first governor of a U.S. state to be removed from office by impeachment. Do as we say, or you're out of here, sport. 1873, the Spanish National Assembly abolishes slavery in Puerto Rico. 1894, the first playoff game for the Stanley Cup starts. 1895, before the Société pour l'Encouragement à l'Industrie, brothers Auguste and Louis Lemaire demonstrate the movie film technology publicly for the first time. 1896, Cyrilios Vassilakos wins the first modern Olympic marathon race with a time of 3 hours and 18 minutes. 1906, the first England versus France rugby union match is played at Parc des Princes in Paris. 1913, mystic Phan Yik Long, the self-proclaimed Emperor of Vietnam, is arrested for organizing a revolt against the colonial rule of French Indochina, which was nevertheless carried out by his supporters the following day. 1920, Azeri and Turkish army soldiers, with participation of Kurdish gangs, attacked the Armenian inhabitants of Shushi. 1933, Colin Harrison Act. President Franklin Roosevelt signs an amendment to the Volstead Act, legalizing the manufacture and sale of 3.2 beer and light wines. 3.2 is 3.2% alcohol by weight. That's approximately 4% alcohol by volume. Got to make sure that Big Brother weighs in on things. 1939, Germany takes Memel from Lithuania. 1942, World War II in the Mediterranean, the Royal Navy confronts Italy's Regina Marina in the Second Battle of Sirte. 1943, the entire village of Katyn in what's present-day the Republic of Belarus, is burned alive by Schutzmannstaff Battalion 118 in 1945. The city of Hildesheim, Germany, is heavily damaged in a British air raid, though it had little military significance, and Germany was on the verge of final defeat. That falls into the category of kick them when they're down. 1945, the Arab League is founded when a charter is adopted in Cairo, Egypt. 1960, Arthur Leonard Shallow and Charles Hard Towns received the first patent for a laser. 1972, the U.S. Congress sends the Equal Rights Amendment to the states for ratification. Also in 1972, in Eisenstadt v. Baird, the U.S. Supreme Court decides unmarried people have the right to possess contraceptives. 1975, a fire at the Browns Ferry nuclear plant in Decatur, Alabama, causes a dangerous reduction in cooling water levels. 1978, Carl Luanda of the Flying Luandas dies after falling off a tightrope suspended between two hotels in San Juan, Puerto Rico. 1982, NASA's Space Shuttle Columbia is launched from the Kennedy Space Center on its third mission, STS-3. 1992, U.S. Air Flight 405 crashes shortly after takeoff from New York City's LaGuardia Airport, leading to a number of studies into the effect that ice has on aircraft, which didn't do anything to help the folks on board that plane, but it sounded good. 1992, the fall of communism in Albania. The Democratic Party of Albania wins a decisive majority in the parliamentary election. 1993, the Intel Corporation ships the first Pentium chips, featuring a 60 megahertz clock speed, 100 plus MIPS, and a 64-bit data path. 1995, cosmonaut Valery Polyakov returns to Earth after setting a record 438 days in space. 1994, Tara Lipinski, 14 years old and 9 months, becomes the youngest women's world figure skating champion. 2004, Ahmed Yassin, co-founder and leader of the Palestinian Sunni Islamist group Hamas, two bodyguards and 9 civilian bystanders are killed in the Gaza Strip when hit by an Israeli Air Force Hellfire missile. 2006, 3 Christian peacemaker team hostages are freed by British forces in Baghdad, after 118 days in captivity to murder their colleague from the U.S., Tom Fox. Yes, they really made peace. 2013, at least 37 are killed and 200 are injured after fire destroys a camp containing Burmese refugees near Ban Mae in Thailand. 2016, 3 suicide bombers killed 32 people and injured 316 in the 2016 Brussels bombings at the airport and at the Malbec metro station. 2017, a terrorist attack in London near the Houses of Parliament, at least 4 dead and at least 20 injured. 2019, the Mueller report on the election of Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election submitted to the U.S. Attorney General. 2019, 2 buses crash in Kidampo, a town north of Ghana's capital, Accra. At least 50 people are killed. 2020, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi announces the country's largest ever self-imposed curfew in an effort to fight the spread of COVID-19. And in 2020, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis announces the country's first ever self-imposed curfew, also in an effort to fight the spread of COVID-19. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Bihar Day in Bihar, India. Christian feast days, Bazil of Ankara. Blessed Clemens, August Graf von Galen. Dararka of Ireland. Epaphroditus, Jonathan Edwards in the Lutheran Church. Leah of Rome, Nicholas Owen, Paul of Narbonne. Earliest day on which Easter Sunday can fall. It happened the last time, and 1818. It's not going to happen again until 2285. April 25th is the latest in Christianity. Emancipation Day in Puerto Rico. World Water Day internationally. Let's see what else we got, if anything. In 752, Stephen II elected the Catholic Pope. He is the 23rd Pope. In 1349, the townspeople of Fulda in Germany blame the Jews for the Black Death and proceed to kill quite a number of them, which, of course, made it all better. 1421, Battle of Baugé. The French defeat the English. 1556, Cardinal Reginald Pole becomes Archbishop of Canterbury. 1594, French King Henry IV festival takes place in Paris. 1621, Dutch jurist Hugo de Groot escapes in a book chest from Leuvenstein Castle in the Netherlands. 1680, the Parliament of Brechas accept French sovereignty over Alsace. 1692, Emperor Leopold I names Duke Ernest August of Braunschweig king. 1775, British MP Edmund Burke makes a speech to English Parliament advocating peace with the American colonies. Of course, didn't work out. 1778, Captain James Cook sights Cape Flattery, now in Washington State. 1790, Thomas Jefferson becomes the first U.S. Secretary of State under President Washington. 1809, Charles XIII succeeds Gustav IV Adolf to the Swedish throne. 1822, on this date, the New York Horticultural Society is founded. 1832, the British Parliament, led by Charles Grey, Prime Minister at the time, passes what was called the Reform Act. Introduced wide-ranging changes to the electoral system of both England and Wales, increased the number of voters from 500,000 to over 813,000. 1841, a method for alkali starch extraction is patented in the U.S. by Orlando Jones, and it's later applied to corn, which gave rise to what was known as cornstarch. 1861, the first U.S. nursing school is chartered. 1865, Wilson's Raid. 13,480 cavalry troops led by Union General James Wilson destroy most of Confederate Alabama and Georgia's arms manufacturing rail capacity. The raid lasted through mid-April after Lee's surrender natural resources were made useless to the South. 1872, Illinois becomes the first state to require sexual equality in employment. 1874, the Young Men's Hebrew Association is organized in New York City. 1903, on this date, Niagara Falls runs out of water. It was a drought. 1903, the U.S. Anthracite Coal Commission, set up by President Theodore Roosevelt, submits its recommendations for shorter work hours, a 10% wage increase, and an open shop, which means unions were not welcome. 1904, the Belundo Revolt ends after almost 2 years in Portuguese victory over of a Bundu kingdom and its allies. 1907, a new Boer government in the Transvaal passes an Asiatic registration bill that restricts immigration from India. 1913, Song Jiaoren, leader of the Chinese Kuomintang Party, shot at the Shanghai Railway Station, dies 2 days later. And it was thought this assassination was orchestrated by the Kuomintang president, Yuan Shikai. 1917, in a move that shows that money rules, the USA is the first nation to recognize new government of Russia. Henry Ford had put a lot of money into that new government in Russia. Well, 1922, the Rand Rebellion in Southern Africa, which started as a strike by white mine workers, became an armed rebellion against the states brought to a brutal end by the police. 1929, KITAM in Waukema, Washington begins radio transmissions. 1929, the U.S. Coast Guard vessel sinks a Canadian schooner suspected of carrying liquor. We can't have any of that. 1934, a fire destroys Hakodate, Japan, kills 1,500, injures 1,000. 1935, blood tests are first authorized as evidence in court cases in New York. 1941, Jimmy Stewart is inducted into the Army, becomes the first major American movie star to wear a military uniform in World War II. 1943, Dutch SS police chief Hans Albin Rotter threatens to kill half-Jewish children. 1944, 600 plus 8th Air Force bombers attack Berlin. 1944, American movie star Jimmy Stewart flies his 12th combat mission, leading the 2nd bomb wing in an attack on Berlin. 1945, the U.S. 3rd Army crosses the Rhine at Nierstein. 1946, the first U.S. rocket to leave the Earth's atmosphere at 50-plus miles up was launched on this date. 1946, Britain signs a treaty granting independence to Jordan. 1954, Northland Center, the world's largest shopping mall at that point in time, opens in Oak Park, Michigan. See what else we got. 1963, British Minister of War John Profumo denies having sex with Christine Keeler. Unfortunately, it came out later that he did. 1965, Nicolae Ceausescu was elected General Secretary of the Romanian Communist Party, and he became dictator of Romania. 1972, Congress approved the Equal Rights Amendment, which still has not been ratified. 1977, Indira Gandhi resigns as Prime Minister of India. She was the fourth Prime Minister. Okay. And finally, in 1979, a provisional Irish Republican Army exploded 24 bombs in various locations across Northern Ireland. In 84, teachers at the McMartin Preschool in Manhattan Beach, California, charged with satanic ritual abuse of the children at the school. Later determined the charge is completely unfounded. Of course, careers were ruined. Well, I think that's got it. You know, we've been talking about creatures of the night. We're now going to talk about, at least for the next day or so, mysterious places. There's a lot of very strange places on this planet. I mean, the Earth is massive. And even though humans have been exploring and conquering, building major cities on it for millions of years, a lot of it remains invisible. For curious thrill seekers, there are plenty of secrets and mysteries lurking in locations scattered around the globe. You know, some of these spots were once flourishing cities and islands and they've been completely lost to the sea. Other places off limits due to unstable political conditions because they're simply geographically inaccessible. Well, we're going to talk about ancient civilizations. You know, all across this planet, remnants of ancient civilizations that flourished thousands of years ago offer insights into the lives of those who came before us. From large, still intact structures to tiny fragments of once mighty buildings, they serve as reminders of our cultural legacy. It's believed the oldest civilization on the planet are the indigenous Australians. Now, I don't subscribe to that belief, but because I think there were civilizations long before they were ever thought about. You know, archaeological research and DNA studies have shown that at more than 75,000 years ago, the First Nations people of Australia were members of one of the oldest continuous established societies on the planet. And some of the earliest known humans have migrated from Africa. They're thought to have traveled eastward across India before settling in mainland Australia about 50,000 years ago. That's during a period of time when the sea levels were much lower than they are now. In fact, the earliest anatomically modern human remains found outside of Africa were discovered in New South Wales. And they were dated to about 42,000 years ago. And far from being homogeneous, the indigenous Australian population, known as the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, are as diverse as what you would find in Europe. To this day, hundreds of separate cultural groups, each comprised of a multitude of clans, inhabit the continent and nearly 300 small islands in the Torres Strait. When the British colonial invasion began in the late 18th century, over 500 Aboriginal groups occupied Australia and its coastal regions. Each had their own individual beliefs, traditions, and languages. And as colonial rule took hold, viral epidemics and massacres ravaged the population, followed by a long-term cultural homogenization that almost erased their history. To merely speak an indigenous language in public became a punishable crime. When the English first arrived, over 250 Aboriginal languages were spoken. Only an estimated 120 to 145 are currently in use, and all but 13 are frankly endangered. Today, the First Nations people comprise approximately 3.5% of the continent's 25 million residents. And regrettably, deep inequities still exist. The majority of Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders weren't even considered citizens of their own land in 1967. When 90% of Australians approved a constitutional referendum that actually granted them citizenship. Now, there are government policies in effect that still restrict their rights, and bigotry is rampant, of course. Inequalities manifest early, as evidenced by dramatically lower rates of early education and childhood literacy, which result in underrepresentation in higher education, employment discrimination, and a lower quality of life. In fact, early Indigenous Australians are one of the world's most inventive civilizations. Though other societies developed controlled flight throwing wood, as it was called, it was the Australian Aboriginal people who invented the boomerang that we know today. And this was no small feat, as it required a grasp of the concept of asymmetrical lift, one of the most complex principles of aerodynamics. They also invented the Remera, a thin hardwood spear-throwing device capable of propelling a hunting staff more than three times the distance of a typical hand launch. And the Aboriginal people are considered one of the first groups to grind high-precision edges onto stone tools, which made them as sharp as any European metal blade in the 18th century. You know, near the modern city of Konya in southern Turkey is Kadıköy, near the 9,000-year-old early Neolithic settlement built during the inaugural era of controlled crop planting and animal breeding. First discovered in 1958 by a team of British archaeologists, this settlement's estimated to have been occupied by up to 10,000 people, making it the world's oldest town and an invaluable asset for understanding the prehistory of modern man. Now, all the houses in Kadıköy were built side by side, and with no evidence of streets or footpaths, it's been determined residents traveled across town by walking on rooftops, assessing their home by roof openings. Now, this town was a simple assembling of mud brick single-family residences. Other than shared rooftop ovens used by residents, no large public spaces or gathering areas have been found. Or any evidence of administrative structures or leadership facilities. It's believed the only authority over the town life was a loose religion based on a mother goddess. Baked clay and stone effigies of her have been found across the site. Many seem to have been scratched and poked repeatedly, leading historians to believe they may have been served as wish-granting totems or good luck charms. Now, Kadıköy's most legendary feature is its art. Creative designs, including murals and sculptures, are painted and molded on nearly all the interiors and exteriors of the living spaces. Main rooms in these houses show evidence of seasonal redecoration, an ancient equivalent of changing the wallpaper every few months. And many of the main rooms also feature red-painted plaster bull skulls attached to the walls, as well as animal bones and remains, including beaks and teeth and skulls and tusks. And this town also contained the world's earliest forms of pottery. Now, there's evidence of an irrigation method originally to have originated 1,000 years later in Mesopotamia. Up to 18 separate layers of structural reshaping have been discovered across Kadıköy, displaying the area's continuous development expansion until it mysteriously disappeared about 5500 BC. Speculated that the society's reliance on wet clay for building and reshaping its homes may have altered the drain as a source of fish and waterfowl, and its depletion eventually led to the site's abandonment. At least that's the theory. Now, about 150 miles from Kadıköy is another archaeological gem, Turkey's Derinkuyu underground city. Believed to have been constructed in the 8th century B.C. by the Phrygians, it's unearthed in 1963 when a local resident discovered a hidden chamber behind his bedroom wall and began to hammer into the soft volcanic rock. Full excavation revealed an entire underground district extending nearly 18 stories into the ground, one of the older locals that I revealed had been in partial use until 1923. It was built to hide more than 20,000 people from invading forces. And this underground complex was made fully livable with thousands of makeshift water tunnels and air shafts and incredibly detailed chambers built for group spiritual worship, massive lodging spaces, animal stables. In fact, they also had an entire wine production hall. Over the past 50 years, nearly 650 hidden entrances to this subterranean city have been discovered. You know, another legendary civilization were the Mayas. One of the most powerful indigenous civilizations in recorded history, the Mayas were a complex Central American nation founded approximately 4,000 years ago near the state of Chiapas in Mexico. Unlike smaller nomadic populations of the Mesoamerican period, the Maya continually occupied one place, covered the majority of modern-day Guatemala and the Yucatan Peninsula. Now, this in itself was a groundbreaking accomplishment for the time. Where ancient populations had traditionally thrived only in drier areas, the Maya were the first people to establish a truly great civilization in a tropical rainforest climate. They built massive, sophisticated stone cities, pyramids, religious monuments, some of which are still standing today. In addition, they developed a highly sophisticated mathematical system that introduced the usage of zero as a number. They pioneered the utilization of raw cacao as a dietary stimulant. By 900 AD, most Mayan cities have been abandoned. No one knows why, and to this day, it's still debated. One popular theory suggests a domino effect of urban overcrowding that led to the overuse of arable land, followed by a widespread drought and internal wars that scattered the population. And by the time the Spanish came into the region in the 16th century, the diseases that came with them decimated the remaining Mayan settlements. In an effort to implement Christianity, Spanish invaders burned the society's books and records. As a result, there's a great mystery surrounding the Maya history. Descendants of the Maya still reside in current-day Mexico, Honduras, Belize, and Guatemala. Upward of 80 Maya dialects are still spoken today. You know, best known for their building achievements, the intellectual feats of the Maya are still marveled at. Their priests and seers were responsible for the development of a highly sophisticated 800-character logosyllabic script. It's a writing system in which, similar to Egyptian hieroglyphics, symbols represent complete words. Eventually, various spoken subsets of this written language developed and spread, and with them, the specialized communication models that are still in use today. One such example is Yucatec Mayan, Mexico's most common Mayan dialect, currently spoken by about 800,000 people who live on the Yucatan Peninsula. There's been a lot of talk also about the Mayan calendar, which was supposed to predict the end of the world. According to many conspiracy theorists, an inscribed slab of prime Mayan architecture known as a Tortuguero Monument 6 was to predict a 2012 apocalypse. While it did predict a calendar-related end of some sort set to arrive alongside the defeat of a great ruler, Mesoamerican scholar Ricardo Garcia explains that the doomsday interpretation ignores the overreaching Mayan belief that ends the actually represent beginnings. Specifically, he explained to the Maya depicting the end of a great calendar cycle was meant to represent rebirth, not death. 2013 arrived uneventfully, sending disappointed doomsday theorists hunting for the next end of the end times sign. You know, from the Mayas, let's turn to the Romans, who ruled the known world, and their impact is still felt today. Now, Rome, of course, as the expression says, wasn't built in a day, but from its founding in 625 BC as a modest settlement on the banks of Italy's Tiber River, Until it reached its peak global power in AD 117, the Roman Empire grew to become the most influential political and social system in the Western world. Now, the Romans developed the modern Western alphabet and calendar system, helped promote the rise of Christianity, introduced the Latin language to everybody they conquered. First of the three stages of the empire was a period of kings, an era during which six rulers drastically expanded land holdings, bolstered the military, and established the nation's first constitution. During this period, Rome's economic system was also expanded due to increased trade of simple, vital goods like oil lamps. And Rome's Republic period began in 510 BC. During that time, they captured Corinth, Carthage, and the Italian peninsula, established the nation as the sole controller of the Mediterranean. Now, the rule and the death of Julius Caesar followed this expansion. And after Rome overtook Egypt, Augustus was named emperor. So ended the Republic, and now the Empire's final stage was set. The dawn of Imperial Rome in 31 BC was a time of peace and prosperity. The nation's borders expanded to three continents, Africa, Asia Minor, and Europe, stretched from modern-day Spain southward to Egypt, as far north as Germany, and east to the border of Turkey and Georgia. In AD 455, as Western Rome rule suffered brutal invasions by the Goth and Vandal tribes, the empire began to unravel, which led to turmoil and civil violence. As the gap between rich and poor widened, all right, no matter what time I try to do this show, somebody will call, usually with something I need to know about. As I was saying, in 455 AD, Western Rome suffered invasions by the Goth and Vandal tribes. The empire as such. All right. Once again, in AD 455, Western Rome began to suffer invasions by the Goth and the Vandals. In fact, the empire as such began to unravel. And in periods of change, there's always turmoil and civil violence. And as the gap between the rich and the poor widened, wealthy landowners pushed family farmers off their land without any reason or any recourse. Soon, only the most privileged were afforded protection by the government, which is what we're seeing today. And by AD 476, the Roman Empire collapsed under its own weight. It had actually been initially divided into the Eastern Empire, which was Byzantium and Constantinople, and the Western Empire, which was Italy and Rome. Now, one of the things that helped build the empire was their construction material. The high-quality Roman cement that was used to build the Forum, a city center, plaza, and market, and the Colosseum, an amphitheater that was built to seat 70,000, stands as a monument to the construction ability of the Roman builders. These structures still stand intact, largely thanks to the use of ancient Rome's segmented arch, a design originally used to construct bridges, but worked very well in construction of buildings to be used by the civilian population. Then we have the aqueducts. Now, Roman cement was also used to build a vast above-ground plumbing system that provided cities with fresh water. First aqueduct was built in 312 BC. It was designed to serve the city of Rome. The remains of nearly 1,000 aqueducts throughout the Roman Empire have been identified, and there's still more being found every day. Now, across their 1.7 million square miles of prime land holdings, the Romans built the most well-developed system of roads of any ancient civilization. All of them led to Rome, of course. These routes, some of which remain in use today, included graded lanes with advanced cement drainings and mile measurement systems. Some of them are every bit as sophisticated as what we have today. Now, for almost three centuries, A 73-mile stretch of stone, known as Hadrian's Wall, extended across modern-day northern England from Wallsend to Brownis on Solway, and that served as the northwest boundary of the Roman Empire. Construction of the 10-foot-plus-high wall began in A.D. 122 at the order of its namesake Emperor Hadrian. The majority of the wall's foundation, including its turrets, remain upright to the present day. And it was designed to stop the depredations of the locals who liked to raid the Roman cities. Now, from ancient Rome, let's talk about the ancient Persian Empire that was the world's first superpower. From 539 BC to 331 BC, Persia was the global hub of culture, religion, and art that controlled the most influential sites of ancient human civilization. Mesopotamia, as well as the Nile and the Indus Valleys. Centered in present-day Iran, the Persian Empire, also known as the Achaemenid Empire, possessed vast resources, including fertile land, fresh water, and gold stores that dwarfed the assets of both its neighbors and other far-off nations. The legacy of this empire includes a vast network of roads that spanned over 1,550 miles from Sardis in western Turkey to the nation's capital in Susa on the Persian Gulf. Built by the great king Darius I, this ancient highway was the first means of regular trade and communication between three continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, as well as a fast lane for horseback messengers carrying royal orders between Persia's capital cities. Scholars have dubbed these couriers the world's first postal carriers. Now, in 490 BC, King Darius attempted invasion of Greece and met a dispiriting defeat at the Battle of Marathon. And that set in motion a slow downfall of the empire that culminated in 331 BC with Alexander the Great's destruction of Persepolis. The ruins of this ancient royal Persian city in southern Iran, designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1979, are considered some of the world's richest and most important archaeological sites in the most advanced form of city planning of the period. The impressive palace complex built by Darius, his son Xerxes, and his grandson Artaxerxes still stands tall. And among the most notable structures are the massive Apadana Palace and the throne hall, known as the Hundred Column Hall. Now, some of what they developed is with us today. The origin of the motto of the U.S. Postal Service, neither snow nor rain nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. That came from an ancient Greek scholar, Herodotus's writings on Persian messengers. According to what he wrote, whatever the conditions, it may be snowing, raining, blazing hot, or dark, they never fail to complete their assigned journey in the fastest possible time. And you might say that this system also gave rise to what we know of as junk mail. Now, Archimedean scientists contributed key elements to our modern understanding of nature and science. Ancient Persian engineers pioneered the Qanat, a water management system built to irrigate the arid lands. Amazingly, a 2,700-year-old Qanat and its underground aquifer still provides water to the 40,000 residents of Ghanabad in Iran. The Persian Yakshal, a semi-subterranean dome clay device designed for ice storage, served as a man's first refrigeration unit. Forefathers of this Persian empire are also known to have performed one of the first distillations of alcohol. Evidence of that was shown by wine vessels recovered from Neolithic era structure in the northern Zagros Mountains of Iran. So literally, you might say there's nothing new in the world, or very little. Now, from Iran, let's turn to the mysterious Anasazis, who carved homes in the cliffs and made sophisticated baskets. Now, mysteries of the Anasazi society continue to intrigue experts even today. These prehistoric Native Americans existed from roughly 1500 BC to 1300 AD, and they lived in a 30,000 square mile, Four Corners region. That's the modern-day borders of Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado in the American Southwest. Deemed the area's alpha inhabitants, the Anasazi were an ancestral Pueblo culture and the forefathers of the current-day Zuni, Acoma, Hopi, and Laguna tribes. Now, the word Anasazi is said to mean ancient enemy of Navajo, but no records exist explaining how the tribe earned its unusual name. They're best known for their architectural achievements, including their legendary cliff dwellings, a vast system of homes and ceremonial gathering spaces carved from sheer rock walls, some of which stand several stories tall. Since these dwellings can only be reached by climbing, they stood as a great defense system against marauding rival tribes. Lumber used throughout the dwellings came from forests as far as 50 miles away. And this fact is a major puzzle to researchers to this day. Pioneers of Southwest farming, the Anasazi developed irrigation methods and road systems for watering and harvesting their crops. They became basket weaving experts. Their containers were woven from willow strands and plant fibers and covered in mud and baked in the sun until they were rock hard. They created no true pottery to contain liquids. Instead, they lined baskets with pinyon pine gum, a natural adhesive produced by the pinyon pine tree. When it sets and dries, the gum made the vessels completely waterproof. Today, the tribe's basket craft has come to define the style known as American Southwestern design. Form marked by sandstone textures, woven elements, and warm, layered pastel colors suggesting of sunsets. Many Southwestern designs even contain exact Anasazi art and patterns. Now, with no known system of writing, the Anasazi language remains a mystery. And having only recovered the most basic of artifacts, archaeologists and historians have little idea of the specific behaviors and beliefs of these people. We do know they were led by elders who were referred to as headmen, who, along with tribal priests, were known to convene in underground cavities called kivas, where spiritual summoning ceremonies were held. Near the end of the 13th century, the Anasazi fled the region and headed southwest toward Rio Grande, never to return. Now, why they left is one of the great mysteries of Native American history. Some claim they abandoned their homeland due to climate disasters that decimated their crops. Another theory is that a growing presence of highly aggressive nomadic tribes led Anasazi priests to call for an exodus. From small campsites to the legendary stone cliff dwellings, tens of thousands of Anasazi ruins in various states of decay remain scattered across the Four Corners region. Now, the most well-preserved structures, that are about 1,000 years old, currently lie in central Colorado at the Manitou Cliff Dwellings Museum and Preserve. These dwellings, parts of a complex called the Cliff Palace, are also said to be the earliest remnants of Anasazi culture ever discovered. In December 1888, a pair of Colorado farmhands came across the structures and spent years unearthing pottery, tools, and weapons they sold to museums. This spread the word about this previously unknown civilization. Well, at this point, having talked about the Anasazi, let's talk about the world's oldest still standing buildings. You know, after millions of years being exposed to storms and blizzards and heat waves, early humans finally understood the need to start building their own shelters. It's been estimated that they started building full structures about 380,000 BC. That's a time when historians saw attempts at creating rough shelters within caves. Now, while nowhere near as old as those cave rooms, we do have a number of locations where solid man-made structures have amazingly held their own over several millennia. We're starting out with the megalithic temples of Malta. These stone complexes are built between 3500 and 2500 BC. They are considered to be the oldest freestanding structures on the planet, built even before Egyptians' pyramids, though that may not be true since it's been determined that some of the weathering on the pyramids came as a result of water, and there hadn't been enough rain in over 10,000 years to do that kind of weathering on the pyramid material. So they may be much older than anybody anticipates. But at these two megalithic temples we're talking about on Malta are centered around a shrine complex called Gantigia, located on the island of Gozo in the Maltese archipelago. Crafted using local varieties of limestone, these temples feature internal walls made of large stone slabs arranged to form separate chambers, each secured by a tightly packed mix of dried mud, stones, plant roughage, and pottery shards. The builders remain unidentified, but evidence suggests ancient farmers erected these temples to perform livestock sacrifices meant to appease their natural deities. Then we have Knapp of Hoar in Scotland. Built between 3700 and 2800 BC, the Knapp of Hoar is a small farmstead which is believed to be the oldest standing stone dwelling in all of Europe. It's located on the North Sea island of Papa Westre. The Knapp of Hoar features a 530 square foot subsurface stone framework that was once divided into rooms using thick stone slabs. Holes in the slab suggest layers of thick sod were once attached across her tops to form a roof, which gave a mere 5 feet of headroom for the structure's occupants. Site appears to function primarily as a living space for a single family, featuring stone shelves and bed platforms that are still perfectly intact. Tools such as grinders and handheld borers were recovered from a chamber likely used as a workshop, and antlers and whale bones thought to be used in ritual ceremonies are also found. And in one of the most famous structures in the world is Stonehenge in England. It's a prehistoric stone monument on the Wiltshire Salisbury Plain. It's also held an air of mystery about it. Nobody knows for sure if it was a burial site, a druid temple, or an ancient calendar. And where did the smaller blue stones, and when I say smaller, they still weighed up to 4 tons, originally come from? And how did the Neolithic people move them roughly 5,000 years ago without even a tool as basic as the wheel? Now, an archaeologist by the name of Mike Parker Pearson has now shed some light on one piece of the puzzle. He and his team recently discovered a 360-foot stone circle in Pembrokeshire in Wales that's identical in diameter to the ditch in which Stonehenge now sits. It's also similarly aligned on the midsummer solstice sunrise. One indentation even contains a shape that fits like a key in a lock to an unusual section of bluestone in Wiltshire, proving the impressive structures once stood at this site in Wales before being taken apart and then somehow transported to England and rebuilt. There are many mysteries in history that we'll probably never have the answers to. Well, no talk about ancient civilizations would be complete without discussing the dinosaurs. Now, between 66 and 245 million years ago, way before all these civilizations rose and fell, dinosaurs dominated the planet. They were king. During the Mesozoic era, when all current continents were still conjoined as a single landmass called Pangaea, these creatures migrated easily from one location to another. As a result, dinosaur fossils have been discovered across the globe. And if you want to find your own piece of prehistory, you may want to visit three sites where over the past 350 years, scientists have uncovered some of the most well-known fossils. First is Oxfordshire in England. More dinosaur fossils have been found beneath the rural pastures of the UK than any place else in the world, including the first dinosaur bone ever recovered and documented in a scientific journal. Unearthed from an Oxfordshire limestone formation, a remarkably well-preserved find was a jawbone belonging to a 30-foot-long Jurassic carnivore known as a Megalosaurus. Then 200 years later, a partially intact Camptosaurus was found near Oxford, a discovery that marked the beginning of the UK fossil-finding golden era. Then we have Hell Creek Formation in Montana. Since its first excavation in the 1890s, led by legendary paleontologist Barnum Brown, Montana's Hell Creek Formation has become to be known among the global scientific community as a fossil treasure trove. Expeditions into the area throughout the 20th century found many rare remains, though none more famous than the first ever T-Rex found by Brown in 1902. Then in 2016, paleontologists uncovered the 67-million-year-old bones of the world's youngest Tyrannosaurus rex. It's thought to be only 7 years old at the time it died. Kyle Atkins-Weltman, fossil preparator at the University of Kansas Biodiversity Institute and Natural History Museum, called it a one-in-a-million discovery. Then we have Zrigit in Morocco. Now, 7 years ago, a dinosaur dig in northern Africa yielded bones of what would eventually be identified as history's only known swimming dinosaur, the 95 to 100-million-year-old Spinosaurus, with an average length of 50 feet. Spinosaurus is longer than even a full-grown T-Rex, and at 7 tons, as heavy as 7 adult rhinoceroses. Report published in 2020 proposes that the Spinosaurus spent long amounts of time underwater, stalking and snapping up prey like an enormous crocodile. One of the world's most complete theropod species finds, National Geographic paleontology scholar Nazar Ibrahim calls Morocco's Spinosaurus bones evolutionary evidence of a dinosaur trying to build a fishtail. And certainly that is an interesting view. Well, from dinosaurs, let's turn to lost and found cities. You know, some of the most advanced and sophisticated civilizations on the planet are now lost in the passage of time. Some were conquered. Others were gutted by plague or deserted by their own citizens. More collapsed under the weight of their own debauchery or excesses. And some were simply swallowed up by the earth they stood on as the oceans of the time rose and buried them. The first and foremost is Port Royal in Jamaica, the Las Vegas of the Caribbean. Now, Port Royal may not be much to look at today, but 400 years ago, this quiet fishing village on Jamaica's southern coast was the largest city in the Caribbean. It was so infested by pirates and outlaws, it was called the wickedest city on earth. And on that note, we're going to stop because we've run out of time. We'll be back tomorrow when, once again, you'll be listening to Ken Hudnall and the Ken Hudnall Show. Until then, have a truly great evening.